Instead of reading scripture now, I'm going to read different verses as I go along. What a day of celebration this is. God really has done a mighty work in our midst. The new edition is finished, and our children are using it, and we just praise the Lord for that. I know when we were in the planning stages and it was just an idea, it was hard to fathom that we were going to be able to put something like that together, and yet we did. We did it as a congregation, and I just praise the Lord for all of you have been faithful in this, in giving of your time and energy, but also of giving of your tithes to make this dream possible. Because our edition really has turned out beautiful. I don't know if you've all been over there, but hopefully afterwards you'll be able to go back there and have a tour and just see what God has done. While the addition will be a great blessing to our children, yet in the end, everything is ultimately done for the glory of God. We built it not for our glory, not for the builder's glory or our donor's glory, but we built it for God's glory. When we speak of the glory of God, what are we talking about? As I ask that question to you, I remember Moses on top of the mountain asking God this: please show us your glory. Seems like such a simple request, but it was huge. When he asked God this, what was he seeking? You see, Moses didn't want to lead the people of Israel if God wasn't going to go with him, if he wouldn't be part of it. Moses desired God's presence more than he desired God's blessings. And to Moses' request, God promised that his presence would go with Moses, but not only with Moses, but he would be with his people, and he would give his people rest. To this, Moses replied, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Without what Moses was really in effect saying is, without you, Lord, without your presence, your glory, we're nothing. The milk means nothing. The honey means nothing. All the fertile land means nothing. Our homes mean nothing. The Hebrew word for glory in the Old Testament is kapod, meaning weight. It carries the idea of something which radiates from the one who has it, leaving an impression behind. The New Testament word is doxa. And this word can be defined as beauty, radiance, brilliance, or the total manifestation of all God's attributes in Revelation. John Piper describes it like this: "The glory of God is the beauty and excellence of his manifold perfections. God's glory is the perfect harmony of all his attributes into an infinitely beautiful and personal being." In essence, I think you could say the glory of God reflects all that God is. Clearly, you cannot understand the purpose and plans of God unless you understand how they revolve around the orbit of God's glory. Our salvation is for his glory. Scripture, from beginning to end, swirls around the gravitational pull of the glory of God. To know God is to understand what brings him glory. Solomon acknowledges this truth when he says in 2 Chronicles 6:14, "O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart." God does not take his glory lightly, because it's who he is. If God were any less glorious, he wouldn't be God. He's so glorious, Solomon acknowledges in verse 18, how can God dwell with man on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? And I think we could say the same thing. Solomon knew that God could not be glorified with a building. So how then do you bring glory to God? Solomon says in verse 14, it's by walking before him with all our hearts. Or I think you could also say that means walking before God in obedience. How did God respond to Solomon's prayer and the dedication of the people? Chapter 7, 1 says this, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifice. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and gave thanks, saying, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Corrie ten Boom was once asked if it were difficult for her to remain humble with all the attention she got after World War II. Her reply was simple. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey, and everyone was waving palm branches and throwing garments onto the road and also singing praises, do you think that for one moment it ever entered the head of that donkey that any of that was for him? She continued, if I can be the donkey on which Jesus Christ rides for his glory, then I will be content and Christ will be glorified in me. Over time, Solomon, he struggled, and we've looked at that. We just went through some months where we studied Solomon's life. He sadly, mistakenly began to think that it really wasn't obedience that was pleasing to the Lord, but it was the beauty of the temple, the gold and the silver and the woodwork and everything that was in it. Also, what he believed brought the most glory to God was just that they were his chosen people and they were so good. But that wasn't true, was it? We can read in another place where God says that they were nothing special. It was just God and his grace. It was his will to call them to be his, to follow him. Not that they were better than all the people of the earth. It's just that God in his grace chose them and called them. See, what brings God glory, again, is not a building, not really even the things we do, but it's our obedience to his word, that we put him first in our lives. Listen to what God says, his promise to those who will walk in obedience before him. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. And then this part, which I'm sure you're more familiar with. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers that are made in this place. God will hear our cry, forgive our sins, and heal our land if we humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. In other words, God will bless us if we're willing to walk in obedience before him, to put him first in our lives. You can build a big church and add a huge fellowship hall, lots of classrooms, have all kinds of activities going on. We can start all kinds of groups, have big potlucks, feed the hungry and shelter the homeless and do all kinds of wonderful things for God. But the truth is, we are nothing and our message is meaningless unless we are walking with God and we're living for his glory. And that's a call he makes on each of our lives. Why are so many churches today losing their relevance and slowly dying? Well, I think it's obvious they've lost the presence of God. He's removed his presence from among them because they've become too focused on the milk and honey rather than on the one who provided those good gifts. A young preacher in Fort Worth, Texas, was trying to make an impression on a pastor's search team who had come to his church to hear him preach. The young man was preaching at the time from the Old Testament, where God had enough of the disobedience of his people. And he finally said to them, "Ichabod," which means the glory has departed. However, as the young pastor preached, he made a huge mistake. He said to the congregation, "Church, if you don't obey God, if you don't listen to God, if you don't follow God, do you know what God will say to you?" The pastor said, "He will say, Michelob." That's what he said in his sermon. Once the laughter died down, the embarrassed young preacher, he tried his best to finish his sermon. Do you hunger for the Lord? If you do not have a strong desire for the manifestation of his glory, it's not because you've drank too deeply from the living water of Jesus. It's because you've nibbled too long at the table of the world, and so your soul is stuffed with small things, insignificant things, and so there's no room for the great. We need to develop in our hearts an appetite for the kingdom of God. For 72 years, Gordon and Norma Yeager shared their lives together as husband and wife. On October 12, 2011, while on a morning drive, Gordon came to a stop sign and failed to yield to oncoming traffic. The elderly couple was taken to the Marshalltown Hospital near Des Moines, Iowa, and placed in the same ICU room. Their beds were moved close together so that the two could at least hold hands together in their final moments. At 3:38 p.m., Gordon quietly passed away. But to the surprise of the family, the monitor continued to show a heartbeat. Upon closer examination by the attending nurse, it was discovered that the heartbeat belonged to the wife, who was holding on to Gordon's hand. The monitor was picking up Norma's heartbeat through Gordon because she was holding his hand so tightly and squeezing it. Eventually, Norma also died, still holding the hand of the one that she loved so dearly. Wouldn't it be great if we held the hand of our Heavenly Father so tightly that his heartbeat could be felt in us, that the heart of God could be felt in everything that we do and in everything that we say? May this be our prayer, that the glory of the Lord will fill us and this place, fill every square inch of it. And as we serve the Lord with all our hearts and live for his pleasure, may the name of Jesus be lifted up high. May each of our lives proclaim to everyone that we meet, to God be the glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, that you will be glorified in this place. But Lord, what is a building? Lord, it's just walls, it's brick, it's mortar. What you're really calling, Lord, is for us, your people, to glorify you with our lives, our ministry, and everything that we do. Father, we just thank you for the blessing of this new addition, and we just pray, Lord, that it will be used for many years to come, Lord, to teach our children the way that they should go. Lord, thank you for how supportive this congregation has been. Lord, for all those who have given of their tithes so generously. And again, Lord, we do it not to be recognized ourselves, but Lord, to give you the honor and glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.